Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and what a blessing that has already been. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts and chapter 10, Acts and chapter 10, no matter what's going on in your life, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it that's going to be more important than focusing on what God has for you tonight. Amen. And so what's important is that we made it here tonight, and so we need to receive what God has for us as we assemble ourselves together. I believe that the Lord always meets with us, and He has something for us as we study the Word of God. And the Word of God is powerful, and it helps us to understand the things that we need to understand to prepare us to face the things we have to and are going to have to face. And so praise the Lord for opportunity to be in church and to hear the Word of God being taught and receiving what God has for us through that teaching and the preaching of the Word. So Acts chapter 10, on Wednesday nights, we're going through and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. Now we're coming to the end of this series, this study on Peter's life, and it's been hopefully a blessing seeing things differently because we're looking through the eyes of Peter, and everything that God has recorded for us concerning Peter when he got saved and being able to see it through Peter's eyes and then all the way through as Jesus was discipling him. Throughout the whole time that Christ was here, He was preparing Peter to do what Peter's doing now in the book of Acts, as we've been studying this. He was discipled to do exactly what he is doing, and he's leading the church that Jesus Christ established through the apostolic age. Now, he's going to pass the baton to the Apostle Paul here before long. And so we come to an end of this, our study on Peter when that takes place. But the Bible has so much for us in recording the life of the Apostle Peter. Last week, we studied chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. And God was giving Peter a vision of a new revelation. A new revelation to Peter and to the church, and to the Jews, not a new revelation to God. God knew exactly what time He was going to introduce all the revelations that He wants us to have. Can I tell you that as a New Testament church, we have all of the revelation that God wants us to have. There are no new revelations. They all have been completed. At the end of the apostolic age, we have the completion of the words of God, the completion of the Bible. And so now we have it written down, and it's been preserved by God for these 2,000 years. And in these last 2,000 years, there have not been any new revelation. Somebody comes to you and tells you they have a new revelation from God, just turn away and turn and walk away from that individual. Get up out of your pew and leave that service that you're in. No, there are no new revelations. Now, it might be new to you. Amen. And everyone that gets saved, they have a new revelation that they're lost in need of a Savior. As you're being discipled, it's new to you. It's not been new to God nor to the church. We have the full revelation, and we've had the full revelation for some 2,000 years now. And so that's what we looked at last week. It was new revelation to Peter, wasn't new to God. And after this, now we find Acts chapter 10 and verse 17. Peter is trying to figure out this new revelation, the vision that he had, the animals coming down and what God had told him about that. Verse 15, the Bible says, "The voice spake unto him, saying the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again to heaven." Now, we know, because we know the rest of the story, we've studied the Bible, he is introducing to Peter the Gentiles. The salvation was to be given to the Gentiles. And the Jews would have no special treatment of God during the New Testament church age, but they would be, if they were going to get saved, they were going to get saved the very same way that the Gentiles would get saved, and that is through putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And so now we find that chapter 10, verse 17 to 33, it's explained to Peter. So go ahead and stand with me. I trust I've kind of briefly brought you up to where we're at in our study in the life of the Apostle Peter. But tonight it is starting here in verse 17, and we'll read down to verse 33. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee unto his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius awaited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up and saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truths of your word, for the opportunity to be in church tonight. And God, I just pray that you would just continue to meet with us and bless now in the preaching of thy word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find here tonight the next event in the Apostle Peter's life is after the vision. After the vision. Now, Peter had received the vision. In verse 17, though, we find the Bible says, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Peter had just received insight from God, revelation from God, and yet he doesn't understand it. And he faces doubt and maybe even a little confusion as to what he had just heard, what he had just experienced, that which came from God. Understanding of something new from God does not always come when you hear it. You might have heard the salvation plan many a time, but you didn't understand it. You didn't have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you didn't get saved. As a saved individual, you might have heard the Bible preached concerning God's will for baptism. But even though you heard it, you didn't fully understand it, and you never surrendered to the first step of obedience after you get saved, which is identify with Christ through baptism. You might have been saved for a while and you didn't join a church because you really didn't understand the reason why you needed to join a church, even though you heard it preached. But the understanding just wasn't there. It might have taken you several years to get to the place where you could tithe because you didn't want to understand. Once you understand, then you think, I wish I had done this a long time ago because I see how it works now. And so I could go on and on and on. There's many things that when you hear from God, you don't always understand it at first. But what Peter did, even though now while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, Peter remained sensitive to God's leading in his life. In verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. So before he could take the next step in doing what God would have him to do, he was thinking about the vision. And he was aware of God and trying to just figure it out. Just how does this come? What does this mean for me? How can I apply what I've just heard to my life? Remaining sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Knowing that God would have us to understand all of the words of God. God wants, He's preserved this entire Bible for every believer to understand the entire Word of God. We need to understand the reason. The book of Leviticus is there. When you're going through your Bible reading and you're just reading through, you think, this is a tough book to read. So many things in the Old Testament, and it's a why is all the genealogies there? Why did the law direct in so many different ways and fast? I mean, so many things that we think, I know it's there, but I don't really understand it. If you don't understand it, you can't be blessed by it. And there's a blessing to understand the entire Old Testament. Because the New Testament was actually within the entire Old Testament. The principles of the law are revealed in the teachings of Christ. And when you understand that, then you can get more out of the Bible stories. And you get more out of when you read through your Bible. And you get so much there. Can I tell you, God would have us to understand the entire Bible, the full counsel of the words of God. But you're not going to always understand it at first. As believers, one of the most important things that I did in my Christian life is I made a determination that the Bible was from God. And it was true whether I understood it or not. I accepted it as God's word for me, that God had written it and preserved it for me. Now, I know He preserved it for everybody, but it's a personal understanding. God wants you to understand that He has preserved His word for you. The book of Genesis, the beginning of all, was preserved for me. Exodus, all the way through, every prophet, every book in the Bible was preserved for my understanding so that I can be better equipped, so that I can be blessed by it and also have a knowledge of applying it to my life. So I remember that I made that decision because there was some telling me that there are contradictions in the Bible. And you can't go by every word. You can't go by, it's too many contradictions here and there and everywhere else. And I thought, is that true? If it's from God, then it shouldn't have any contradictions in it. So even before I fully understood it, I made this decision to accept the words of God as being from God. And when it seems to contradict itself, I know it doesn't, and I always want to chalk it up to my ignorance of the Bible to understand what seems to be a contradiction. Because there are no contradictions in the Bible if you understand the Bible as God has preserved it for us. And sometimes you have to understand the entire Old Testament to fully see that there's not a contradiction in the New Testament or in this versus that, but it's just a lack of understanding and putting it all together. When you put it all together and you allow the Bible to interpret Bible, Scripture to interpret Scripture, there are no contradictions and there is understanding of the entire Bible. Even though you might not understand it right now. Acts in chapter 17, let me read to you verse 10 to 11. The Bible says in verse 10, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." These were Jews that wanted to understand the words of God from Jesus Christ and the teachings of Christ. And he says they were more noble in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. When you hear the word of God being preached, you ought to make sure that you believe that you're in the right place to hear the word of God preached. You need to be in, if you believe what the Bible teaches, attend a church that teaches the Bible, amen? Attend a church that preaches the Bible. And so when you know that you, first of all, are in a church that teaches and preaches the Bible, that puts their foundation on the word of God, then you're more apt to hear the truths of the Bible being presented. And so look to hearing the word of God being taught and hearing the word of God being preached to receive it, but then just don't take the preacher's word for it. Mark those scriptures down, go back home and study the Bible to make sure that he is preaching what the Bible says. Amen. Because you want to understand it. And sometimes when you hear the preacher preaching, it's hard to understand it maybe. But you want to understand it. And so I receive it as long as I know it's from the Bible. So that's where Peter's at here. A little confused, a little doubting in himself, what this vision, what is God trying to say to me? How is this going to apply to my call to ministry? How is this going to apply with how I've been discipled by Jesus Christ? Now, this is something he didn't tell me about this. This is something that is just now being presented to Peter for the church. Amen? It was taught in Jesus' teachings without coming out and saying that the salvation is for the Gentiles. He says, "For God so loved the world." That tells me that God loves more than just the Jews. But for Peter to, even though he heard that, it didn't come to light until now. Now he's getting the vision and he would remember back some of how he had been discipled, even though he didn't fully understand everything that Jesus had taught him then. Now he's seeing it and understanding it more and getting ready to make the application for the New Testament church and leading the church through the apostolic age. Wow. Can I tell you that many have had to do this even in the Old Testament before they had the revelation of Christ in the New Testament? Let me just read to you. Habakkuk. The prophet Habakkuk, he could not understand God at first. In Habakkuk chapter 1, in verse 1, let me read it to you. It says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear?" A little confused here. "Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore, the law is slacked. He said, all this is going on around me. I can't understand. God, why aren't you just zapping them all? Why aren't you raining fire and brimstone down upon this heathen? This is a prophet of God. He's writing that which was in his mind that he didn't fully understand. Therefore, the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. And then he hears from God. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. It comes to the place where Habakkuk then reverts back to, Lord, please don't send judgment. He didn't understand what was taking place. He didn't understand even the visions that he had had because he knew that they were going to be judged. And yet he was seeing everything in his life and seeing everything around him and saying, wait, it's not happening. Because he hadn't understood the vision. Not that it wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't happening in Habakkuk's time frame. It would take place in God's timing. Even the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, let me just read to you chapter 20 and verse 17. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 rather. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Well, he's confused. He's doubting. And I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. No one's listening to him. No one's taking him seriously. There's no one getting saved. And yet he's preaching that God's going to judge, and he's not. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. If you don't understand it, you'll have a wrong conclusion to God's word. But his word was in mine heart. God's word's got to be in you. It's got to be in your heart. I know this is what the Bible says. I'm not going to come to wrong conclusions. I want to understand it so that I can act appropriately. And he says, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, I had to preach it. I had to get it out. Because even though I didn't understand it at first, I knew it's the words of God. Whether anyone believes the words of God or not, it'll not change anything. Except for you and me, not receiving the full blessings that God has for me. It's like the laws of mathematics. I remember in school, I was really good in math. I mean, I would be able to just work it out in my mind. I could see the answers. I mean, whenever they would have this put up in front of me, the cards there, the teachers would have the cards and have you go around and all the different things. Math was really good to me, but I knew the answers. I knew I got A's on my tests, answers. And then we got to the place, all right, you got the right answers, but you have to prove your answer. I was terrible at learning how to prove my answer because my mind just worked. I knew I could see it in it. I knew I could tell the answer. I could give it easy, but how do you know it's right? And I understand now my teachers wanted me to know how to prove it so that I would know that what I come up with, the conclusion I come up with, was right. I could convince myself that it was right. But there has to be a way of proving what you think is right. Learning how to prove what is right comes through obedience of what you presently know is right. That's how you grow in your spiritual life. It doesn't all come overnight. A full understanding, a full knowledge of applying every Bible principle does not come overnight. So how do you learn the full revelation of God? How do you come to the place where you can look to the Bible, know it's the Bible, and apply the Bible? It comes by obeying what you do know. When you obey what you do know, it will give you more revelation into what you don't understand. Obedience is the key to increasing our understanding of the will of God. That's what comes in next with Peter in chapter 10. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Okay, now what's God doing to Peter? Peter doesn't fully understand it. But then he is confronted with some men who want Peter to go with them. Some Gentile men, which he wouldn't even let them in the gate. It was not something that the Jews would even allow the Gentiles to come into their houses, to come into their yards. They were outside his gate. Peter was told to go with them. And then he was told not to question what was to be done, but to just do it. It would take obedience. He's thinking about the vision. While he's thinking about the vision, God works some circumstances out for Peter to learn of the vision, the understanding of the vision. Servants of Cornelius arrive. As we are obedient to God by doing what we already understand we need to be doing, in the midst of doing that, God will start working other circumstances to get us to learn even more. But he had to be mindful of the vision. If the Cornelius' men would arrive the day before the vision, he would not have even listened to them. He would have not been prepared. He would not have yielded to go with them because he wouldn't have let them through the gates. But God gave him the vision and then gave him instruction, even though he didn't fully understand it, but God was working in his life. He was aware of the leading of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God says, "This is what you need to do. Do it." Whether you fully understand it or not, this is the wisdom of God revealing to you. This is your next step. This is what you need to do. And as you do that, then will come understanding at some point down the road. Yeah. How many times? Now you look back and you say, wow, I can see how this led to this, and I was under this teacher, and I was under this preacher, and I came to meet this person who got brought insight into my heart, my life, this Sunday school class, that Sunday school class, this college career, that young adult, whatever it might be, just go to church. Be faithful to what you already know God wants you to do. And as you're doing what you already know God wants you to do, he will bring more insight into knowledge and understanding of his will for your life and more vision, or if you will, word of God being preached to add to what you already have. But it takes obedience. One of the main reasons people don't grow in their faith is they're not obedient to what they already know. If you're not obedient to what you already know, what makes you think that you would be obedient to what else there was if there was God would reveal more to you? The psalmist, let me just read to you, Psalm chapter 25. Amen. Everybody following me tonight? Good stuff. You at home as well, stay with me. Don't be going to sleep. Psalms chapter 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Yeah. David realized, I need to understand. I want to be taught. I want to continue to obey in order to be taught. First Psalms over in the book of Psalms in chapter 143. Let me just read this last verse to you out of Psalms in verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. I've already established it. You're my God. I've already established it. The Bible is your love letter to me. It's what you have for me to know about you. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You just point me in the direction. Tell me what you want to do, want me to do, and I'll do it. That attitude will allow you to grow in your faith and grow in your knowledge and grow in your understanding of the words of God. Go back with me. Let's go back. I got to close this thing up here. Go back to Acts chapter 10. He was told not to question, just to do what God told him to go with them. They reached there at nighttime, so Peter is already having to do something that he was not accustomed to do and really outside of him starting to understand the vision would not have done. In verse 23, then called he them in and lodged them. I guarantee the other Jews in his town were talking negative. Do you know who Peter had in his house last night? Do you know what the people were that he let in through the gates? They were Gentiles. He's supposed to be an apostle? Yeah, he was. But God was giving him new revelation to lead his church through the apostolic age. He didn't let what other people said about him keep him from doing what he knew God wanted him to do. He brought them in and lodged them. They get to Cornelius, verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Wow. To most Jews, that's where the Gentiles needed to be. If I'm in your presence, I'm a Jew, kneel. I'm a Jew, worship me. Because I'm better than you. I'm God's chosen. That's what it would have been. And I guarantee you some of the Pharisees would have been standing over them saying, yeah, kiss my hand or kiss my feet. Bow down to me. I am hierarchy. Aren't you glad that there's no big shots in the church of Jesus Christ? There's positions, but there's no hierarchy. There's no one that you're to bow down to. There's no one that is better than you are. And I don't care how much money you have or how little bit of money you have. I don't care what side of the tracks you come from. I don't care what kind of skin color you have. When you come into the church that Jesus Christ established, you're all the same. We're all the same. No one should ever put themselves above somebody else in the church. If you have more, then you ought to be giving more. You ought to be, you're more accountable for what God's given to you, and you need to be serving God with what he has given you. That's just the way it is. He fell down and worshiped him because Cornelius lacked understanding of the Bible, lacked understanding of the teachings of Christ. He needed Peter to help him to understand salvation. and the Christian life. I love it. Verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." Yeah. Can I tell you? And I know there's been a lot of false teaching on this, but God has never loved men more than he has loved women. He's never loved women more than he has loved men. He looks at the soul, and the soul is the very same, on the very same level of every man and woman. But he does have different responsibilities. He's created us to be able to fulfill different roles. Praise the Lord for that. Never lose sight of that. But never think that the man is greater than you as a girl. And as a man, never put yourself over a woman as far as thinking you're better than they are or that you are better loved. God is no respecter of persons. None. Peter's learning this. This is what is going to be revealed to the New Testament church. This is the will of God. Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." An equal. Reveals that Peter was still yielding to the spirit and not the flesh. If you're yielding to the flesh, you might like somebody bowing down to you. That's not the spirit of God. If you have to tell your wife you're her Lord, you've got problems. If you have to tell your wife you're the man of the house, you've already got problems. No. You show that you are the man God wants you to do in leading your family by serving your family, by loving your wife as Christ loved the church and giving yourself to her to meet her needs. You love the children that God has given to you and look to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not you. So Peter's yielding to the Spirit. It's all starting to come together. The vision, the Word of God. The vision is the Word of God. He's starting to understand how to apply the words of God. Isn't that good? Verse 27, verse 28, Peter connects the dots. All starts making perfect sense. As he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, I can just see him now. I put myself in that situation. I'm thinking, man, broken heart, spirit. How could I have ever thought the way I thought about these Gentiles? How could I have those thoughts? How could I have thought myself to be better? God has broken my heart. He has brought me down to where I need to be to understand how God wants to work through me to help the Gentiles. He said to them, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation, Gentile. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Connects the dots. Well, when it does, and I'm going to quit right there. When you do have revelation and then you have the knowledge and the understanding of applying the revelation of God, what joy. When you put your tithe in, because now you have an understanding of the revelation of tithing, and you do it with joy. Because you know it is giving back to God, and you cannot give too much to God. As long as you give what God wants you to give and not what man wants you to give, you cannot give too much. When you start serving God and you start doing what using the gifts and the spiritual gifts that God's given to you with the opportunities and you start applying those to serve God instead of serving the world and serving yourself, can I tell you what a blessing it is to know that God has equipped me to do this work for Him? Come to that understanding of the revelation of the words of God. God blesses obedience. And the more we obey what we already know, we open up ourselves for learning and understanding more. Praise the Lord. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. What Peter would be doing to the Gentiles is what we do today by giving someone a Bible or a tract. Because it's giving to them the revelation of God. And as they read it and start looking to apply it, God will continue to give them more and more revelation and understanding to apply. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word and for the life of the Apostle Peter. And I pray that we might receive this tonight and know, even have a better understanding of how to apply it. Thank you for the revelation. Every day, thank you, Lord, for your word. Help me to continue to understand it and apply it to my life, the lives of all that are here and all of our people. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.